By accident, you can have plenty of wealth at one time. But wealth will not remain in your house unless there is this great spirit of mutuality, great harmony. And this harmony cannot come unless you have a still higher power. Skill should be wedded with the power to live together, and the power to live together derives its force from Mahakali. Mahakali is the force of heroism. It is a force of adventure. It was a force of sacrifice. It is the force which makes you entrepreneur. A good manager is a good entrepreneur. To venture, to take risks, heroically to meet the situations which are absolutely hopeless. You are a good manager if a rotten factory is given to you and you can raise it out of ashes and build a running machine all the time, 24 hours it can run efficiently. This requires heroism. Adventure, enterprise, fight against the odds, sacrifice everything that you think dear to you. Put your purpose in the right place, put your effort in the right place, put the people in the right place. Unless you spread within you and around you the real force of power, power and harmony go together. Very often there is a conflict. If you become powerful, you become unpopular, you can't be very mutually harmonious. But in the ideal condition, you cannot establish harmony unless there is power. And what is power? Anybody can answer me this question, what is power? It's a good question actually, because all management is a distribution of power, an exercise of power. All management, pardon? What is power? It is responsibility. We are all describing, huh? Pardon, what is power? It is to keep control, that is power. Yes? Tell me. It's a description of power. These are all good descriptions, huh? I don't say no to any one of you. Opportunity. Power is opportunity. Good, that is also service, no? You have come very near to the right definition when you use the word energy. Very good. Let us say, zero in on the word energy. Let us now come to precisions. Huh? Power is basically a manifestation of energy. Yes, yes. Power is the energy, manifestation of energy, which is released on account of the position that you take in the totality. There are many ways of manifestation of energy. When you labor, it's also manifestation of energy. It's not power. You should occupy a certain position. This is the most important point. Power is a manifestation of energy to control, to command, which arises out of the position that you occupy. The secret of power lies in knowing what position you should occupy in a given place. Unless you know your position in the place, unless you occupy that position, whatever energy you may manifest, it won't control and it won't command. It is the placement of yourself. Why do we say, oh, this is because of the chair that you occupy? It's a great truth in it. If you want to exercise a power, you must know where to place yourself in the totality. It's not necessarily where the chair is. The position that you occupy in a given totality, there is a very beautiful drama by Admirable Crichton, that is the title of the drama. There is a group of people in a boat, people who are quarreling with each other. And the manager wanted that there should be great harmony among them. So he arranged this travel in the boat of all the people put together. They were all quarreling among themselves. So let us go on an excursion. Then he disguised himself as a butler. And he went on serving everything that everybody wanted. But while serving, he explained to X what Y was saying about X. He said to Z what Y was saying about Z. And all sweetie things about each one. At the end of the journey, all were very happy with each other. By becoming a butler, you occupy the position which nobody can occupy, that kind of position. That is power. Place yourself in a position where you can command and control energy that is manifested on account of the position that is occupied, that is power. Power is energy, no doubt, but that which manifests itself depending upon the position that you take for command and control. So, that is Mahakali. But Mahakali, the position that you occupy, all that depends upon one most important thing, and that is knowledge. You may have power, you may be very harmonious friend, you may be very skillful, but if you don't have the knowledge that is required with regard to your whole world, then nothing will work. The highest position should be given to wisdom, to knowledge. Knowledge, power, love, harmony, and skill. Combination of the four is a sure guarantee of the highest possible management and highest possible pursuit of wealth. If you want wealth, if you want to pursue wealth steadily, if you want to store the wealth for the best, if you don't want only temporary success but a permanent success, according to my understanding, you cannot do it unless you are deeply spiritual.
Yes, knowledge is power.
Yes, quite right. You are right. Knowledge is power. Quite true. Mr. Tata, I was talking to about him. His knowledge of his business was so great, so great. You know, one day I went to meet him and he invited me to sit next to him on a chair. And suddenly he said, do you know what is the quality of the leather of the chair? I was completely stumped out. One day he gave me a lecture, about 1 hour, on all the essentials of all his industries. 1 hour, huh? You could see the master of his industry. It was a delight to hear him, how much he knew about each and every element, how the pumps work, What is a fabric? Actually, he gave me a good lecture also on cosmetics.
It's a baker.
He knew every item of his bag of cosmetics. You know what is his bag? Cosmetics by Tata? No, nobody knows Tata's cosmetics. Huh?
What is it called? What is the brand? What is it called?
No? No idea? Alright, this is a lesson I give it to you. Alright, next time. Your options of management, I think that this kind of information you should possess, no? Alright, he gave me a lecture of 1 hour. Now, this is a very brief answer to your question. In this world where everybody is pursuing money, what is the base of spirituality? According to me, this bifurcation is false and also unpractical. If you are really practical, if you are really looking for that prosperity, become like Mr. Tata. He combined, and his spirituality, you do not know how much spiritual he was. Not religious man, not going to temples and so on. He once told me, he said, Kirit, the greatest spirituality lies in the capacity to smile in all the conditions of life. That was a very good definition he gave me. To be able to smile in every situation of life. That is spirituality. The real Purusha who can witness everything, stand above everything, and he's not affected by success or failure, honor or dishonor, he can smile in every situation. Shall we go to the next question? Please tell me when you want to finish, huh? Because it's already 7:15 now. Yes? Yes? Oh yes, oh yes. Religion, philosophy, I'm expanding your question because otherwise I won't be able to explain. Religion, philosophy, morality, science and spirituality. Unless you have a clear idea of all these five and their interrelationship, you will not get a correct idea of what is spirituality. Science is pursuit of knowledge. But this pursuit of knowledge is normally limited to one domain. Physics, knowledge of matter. Biology, knowledge of life. Psychology, knowledge of mind. Philosophy, in contrast, is also pursuit of knowledge. But pursuit of knowledge of all the domains. Science is a pursuit of knowledge about a domain. Philosophy is a pursuit of knowledge in which all domains are interrelated. Science also can become multiple in character. Now today we speak of biophysics, biochemistry, astrophysics. So that is not limited to one field only. So you can have science of the whole, in which all knowledge is combined together. But such a science has not yet come into existence. But it can be, possibly it can. Today we also speak of divine science. Science of the divine existence. In that sense we also speak of yoga as science. Yoga is a science which comes to know of all the domains of knowledge, including the divine. But then what is the distinction between yoga and philosophy? Yoga also is a science of all the domains of knowledge, Philosophy is also pursuit of knowledge of all the domains of knowledge. What is the difference? The difference is that in philosophy, the method is to infer by means of logic from a certain set of data and to arrive at the knowledge which is not yet known, but which you can try to be as sure as possible about that unknown data. It's a special method by questioning in a particular manner. In science, when you know by observation, by experience, and by verification. In philosophy, you are not required to verify. Mere logical analysis will give you guarantee that what you know is right. So, you can have knowledge of science concerning all the domains of knowledge, including knowledge of God. There can be science of God. Philosophy also pursues God. It's also knowledge of God, but it is speculative knowledge of God. It is not the verifiable knowledge of God. It is speculative. You can verify it only by certain criteria of logic, by verification in actual experience. So you can say that science also can be science of all and science of God. Philosophy also deals with all the domains of knowledge, including God. But the knowledge of philosophy is rather logical, inferential, speculative. The knowledge of science is definitive and it is assured by verification. Now what is religion? Religion is also a pursuit of knowledge. Knowledge of God. Or knowledge of the highest that is invisible. But the method of religion is quite distinctive. In religion, the method of pursuit of knowledge is by belief. In philosophy, it is by questioning. In the case of religion, it is by belief. You start with faith. You take the advantage of a dogma. You take the advantage of ceremonies, of rituals, of prescriptions. In philosophy, none of these operates. In spirituality, you may admit them temporarily, but not essentially. You can be spiritual without belief. Belief is not necessary, as Vivekananda said. A true spiritual man can make an experiment in God without having belief in God. It's a speciality of spirituality. Belief is not a necessary ingredient in spirituality. There is no necessity to follow any ceremonies, any rituals. You don't need to go to temples. You don't need to do any kind of ceremonies. In spirituality, you seek God as an experiment. You seek God by a discipline in which no ceremonies, no mechanical aspects are honored. Spirituality is a kind of iconoclast. Break all the images. Break all the images. Go beyond all rituals, all ceremonies. Rely upon experience. Unless you have seen God, you are not spiritual. Or, unless you strive to see God, you are not spiritual. And your striving for God should be independent of belief, ritual, ceremonies altogether. Then it is a spiritual pursuit. Religion can be a starting point. But when spirituality is stationed, is stabilized in you, It is like crutches by which you can start your journey. Then you become healed and you begin to walk. You don't need to have crutches at all. That is spirituality. Spirituality is to walk in God without crutches. All right? So I think I have taken most of your time, and I think you must be now getting in a beyond the limits of time, no? I am under your command, and all right, but you will tell me when I should stop, all right? You are in a position of power. You command, it will be done. All right, huh? Fine. Put the other question.
The next question is, how can meditation help in management studies? And B, how can meditation help in management studies?
First of all meditation is a process of concentration. The development of concentration is the process of meditation. How do you concentrate? And what is concentration, first of all? Concentration is a process in which you discover the center of the object in question. The starting point of all meditation is to find the center of the object in question. In fact, this is the great process in management. When you go into any factory as a manager, the most important thing is to find out what is the center of the factory. Now, if you learn the art of meditation, it will be automatic for you. Your state of mind will be always centered on center. It will be automatic for you. Your very state of mind, a meditative mind, is constantly concentrated. A good manager is a commander in constant concentration. The real focus. You know, you must have learned what is called system analysis. You must have heard of Arjun, no? System analysis, have you heard of it? System analysis. It is one of the biggest tools in management. We are told that if you are a big manager, you must analyze the system which you are supposed to manage. And the first question that you should ask in system analysis is, what is the objective of the system? Fundamental question, what is the objective of the system? The very question itself, the moment you go to any examination, anywhere you go, anything you want to manage, you should say, what is the objective? Objective is the center. And the moment, if you are practicing meditation, this question will come to your mind automatically. Your mind itself will be always concentrated upon the centers. You will automatically, in any situation you go, you will try to find out the real nerve which you should catch, by catching which all the nerves are in your control. I'll give an example. There was a group of scientists during the Second World War who wanted that Roosevelt, who was at that time the President of America, should sanction the manufacture of atom bomb. And Roosevelt was very often saying yes, no, yes, no, and there was no decision coming up. I am giving an example from management. Then these scientists began to ask how to get a decision from Roosevelt. They made a good study of Roosevelt's mind. It's a long story, but ultimately they came to two points. That Roosevelt is relaxed always at the time of breakfast. Breakfast time is the center when he's relaxed and when he is free from all kind of impositions. And if any idea is to be thrown into his mind, that is the best time to inject a new idea in his mind. Secondly, they found out that in Roosevelt's mind, he is constantly comparing himself with Napoleon. As a great leader of mankind, in his own mind, Napoleon was a great leader, and he wanted himself to be like Napoleon. This is also a discovery the scientists. They made a study of him. And then they sought an interview with Roosevelt at the breakfast time. Ultimately they succeeded. And they began to talk. And they had already, this is a management, centering on this question. Somebody said, Napoleon was a very great leader, and immediately Roosevelt became alert. He became attentive when somebody said, Napoleon was a very great leader. But he made one great mistake. Roosevelt became even more alert. And then somebody said, nobody should make a mistake like Napoleon. What was the mistake? In his time, he did not foresee the power of navigation. He developed armies, but not the navy. He did not understand, he did not see that the one thing which can defeat him is the lack of navy. Like today, if you do not use atomic power, you may lose the battle. Breakfast was over. The papers were sent to him in a day or two, and he signed up. Now this is an example, even if it has not happened historically, even as an example in management, it's a good example. Although the account which I read says that this really happened. But nobody can vouchsafe because in a breakfast what happened one doesn't know. But in an account given about this event, all these steps have been explained. Now you can see here the centrality, the importance of centrality and concentration upon the centrality. By meditation, normally you mean sitting down cross-legged, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, silently sitting. It is meditation, but it is not all that is meditation is about. To meditate is to constantly put a question, what is the center? And how to be fixed on the center, and to bring all ideas which will converge upon the center. And it is found that if you can center upon the center, then the required knowledge will begin to unfold itself. This is the magic of meditation. If you meditate on any given subject, you make this experiment. All good managers should meditate. Not necessarily cross-legged, but meditate, be very, very quiet. Find out the center on which you should be centered. and just center upon it, and you will find that ideas concerning that object will begin to unfold in your own consciousness. Or you will find that somebody will come and talk to you about the subject, or a book will come to you regarding that subject. This is the magic of meditation. You can make an experiment. I have done this experiment hundreds of times. This is the utility of meditation for managers. I think now people want to go away. It's better to be polite, to have propriety, and to say, you know, Augustus Caesar said, you know, Augustus Caesar was one of the greatest emperors of human history. No other one in the history of mankind. And he had one very wise sentence. You must know when to clap and to leave the stage. It's a good management, no? To know when to clap and to leave the stage. So now, I seek your permission to leave the stage before you tell me that I must go now. All right, thank you.